Picture. Hopefully we're on. Okay. For those that don't know, I am Sam, Samantha, if I'm in trouble with my mother. Usually Sam is just fine. And I am from Crag. Yay, go Crag. And I'm not biased at all. Scent is just as good. And I'm on the leadership team. I'm the mission community leader, so I have got quite a few responsibilities for the smooth running of my mission community. Now, I'm going to start, and this is going to frighten you no end. If you don't agree with what I say tonight, that is fine. If you don't agree with me, that's absolutely fine. I can only look at the word in the framework that I have. I'm not theologically trained. I do not have an absolute massive expositional knowledge of everything. I am a bit of a Yorkshire person, I'm proud of that, I say it how it is. So what I say tonight, if you do not agree with me, that's fine, you can challenge me. I don't say, I'm going to stand up here and I'm going to say everything that is right. Always try not to say anything heretical. So far I've kind of got on all right, but this is just my vantage point of how I look at spiritual gifting. I've been given a title, Teaching, Apostleship, Pastoring and Creative Worship, Building Others Up in Christ. That's my little add-on. I view these as what's called, in my thinking, the ministerial gifts. By that I mean it's things that are equipped for works of service so that the body of Christ can be built up. In fact, Ephesians 4:12 says that to equip us as a people up for works of service. They're different in function from the manifestational gifts. So I'm very glad that Lawrence was here with you last week. If I had been asked to preach on tongues, I might have not been quite as confident. So manifestational gifts are how God works to a believer in a given situation to demonstrate his supernatural power. And these are what I would class as ministerial gifts. Other people might call them foundational gifts. There'll be all kinds of different terminology, but every gift, no matter what, how you categorise it, is for us as a body of Christ, so that he is glorified. Okay, so you'll see that teaching is there first, but I'm going to reverse it a little bit, and we're going to start with apostleship. The reason I want to start with apostleship is that, I want to get it out of the way, to be quite honest with you. I think that in our Western view, there's a little bit of a controversial thing. You know, I mean, obviously I'm not doing about Lawrence's topic last week, which is probably even more confrontational. But I think that if I were to say, do you have a gifted apostleship? There would be some people within church, because church is not just us here, who would say that there is no such thing, that the office of the apostle has ended and that's it, there's no gifting in apostles. So what I think is a useful point to just kind of clarify is that apostleship is not to be confused with the early apostle office held by a limited number of men chosen by God. I put a reference there, Galatians 1:1, which is just talking about Jesus personally calling men to be apostles. The way I look at this, and like I say, you can disagree, is that the foundation for the church has been set. A different sense of purpose in establishing the church is required now. So the early apostles, the requirements included eyewitnessing Jesus' ministry and his resurrection. Well, that's not going to happen anymore. And also they were given authority to write scripture and perform miracles. Now, obviously, the foundation has been set, and that's not what is required anymore. Now, if you can just get your Bibles, I'm going to read a few bits, and then if you can leave your Bible open at 1 Corinthians 12, that would be grand, as they say. So I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 27 to 28. So that's on 1153 of the Church Bible, if you've got it. Just give people a minute. Now, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And in the church, God has appointed, first of all, apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then workers of miracles, also those having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, and those speaking in different kinds of tongues. So if you can, so that's 1153 in the Church Bible. If you can come back to that when I've done the other sets of readings, that would be great. So the second thing that I'm just going to read is from Ephesians 4. I'm going to read 11 and 12. So that's on 1175 if you want to follow it. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. I mentioned that at the beginning, that these ministerial gifts are for equipping his people for works of service. And we're just going to quickly go and look at Psalm 150. I'm just going to read 3 to 5. It's on page 634. Chris has read it out in its entirety earlier on. I'm just going to read 3 to 5. Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and lyre. Praise him with tambourine and dancing. Praise him with the strings and flute. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals. So if you can go back to 1153, 1 Corinthians, leave it open. I'm not going to read every single bit of things that I might touch on. But I will say if I've used something as a point of reference for my own thinking, I have wrote it down. And I know that some people like to take notes. So if I do mention other passages, I think, you know, you can either flick around or you can write it down and you can come and have a little look. Okay, so back to apostleship. I think that the different purpose that is sought in establishing the church is quite a complicated one, because we look at things with a very Western view. And if you went to somewhere else in the world and you were thinking about the establishing of church, there'd be a very different requirement, if that makes sense. And I think that those that are involved in establishing new church, those that might have the gift of apostleship, it's quite a complicated thing. So I think that if you start looking at gifting in isolation, and I don't think it's always the most helpful way of looking at how we can serve. That's just my own personal opinion. So I think that apostleship, gifting, apostle leaders, apostle evangelists, people who are involved in that kind of task, are people who are leaders of leaders and ministers of ministers and influencers. People who have sometimes got a unique way of leading multiple ministries of churches. And I think that you can have quite a broad kind of gift mix if you're involved in that. So, for argument's sake, we all know Paul has been an apostle, but obviously his gifting was completely magnified in office for the requirements of what he had to do. So he wasn't just an apostle. He was a preacher, he was a teacher, he was a pastor, he was a shepherd. His gifting was, you know, he was like Perfect Peter of the gifting world, wasn't he? And I think that this is where looking at a gift in its singularity is not the most helpful thing. But because we're looking at apostleship, they're my just little pointers. And we're just going to move on now. And we're going to look at teaching gift. I think the teaching gift is a lot easier to understand. I've just put quite simply what kind of like a definition. The effect of God-inspired teaching is the revealing of God's word for growth and maturity. Teachers have been entrusted with the task of effectively communicating to others what the Bible means in terms of how we as followers of Christ are to apply it to our lives in the here and now. So that sounds very, very wordy, but it's all about, I'm going to read this, I'm going to understand it, I'm going to try and help you understand it at your level. So in our Sunday school, for argument's sake, if that's your gifting, you're a teacher, you would have to think of very unique ways of identifying the culture that they're in and then relating the, you know, quite a difficult concept to their level of understanding. Yeah, I think that it's pretty evident. I think that the thing about teaching is that we don't realise that we should be stewards of everything that comes out of our mouth. It says in James 3:1, not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. So like every believer, teachers will be stewards of every word that comes out of their mouth, but I think that we don't recognise the onus of how we live our lives. It's a bit like saying one thing and doing another. If you were going to be in a position of teaching, to, whether it's at the front here or in your Sunday school or in your house group or whatever level you teach at, you will be looked at in a way where if you do not live what you were saying, it will be very, very obvious. So when it's talking about that responsibility, it's not about, oh, look at me, I've got a big responsibility. It's about the onus on how we live our lives. Okay, pastoring, closely related to teaching and leadership. Leadership wasn't in those particular gifting lists that I read out, but it is in Romans 12:8. Those are three texts that are associated with kind of what the classes, the list of spiritual gifts. And pastoring carries many different responsibilities. It's the role of shepherd or overseer. I don't think I need to say too much about shepherding and overseeing. We can all think about all of these instances in the Bible about being, you know, looking after sheep. It's protecting from danger. It's feeding, it's nourishing, it's kind of making sure they're not trapped, rescuing them if they get into a situation, all this kind of stuff. I think that the majority of people that I know who are in a pastoring role, again, have a phenomenal amount of gifting mix. You know, they show a lot of mercy. And they are great leaders. One of the purposes of the pastor that is wrote biblically is that it is directly linked to the gift of teaching, and the ability to teach scriptures is usually a requirement of being an overseer. And I got my references from 1 Timothy 3, 1 to 7, and Titus 1, 6 to 9. So by teaching the scriptures to the church, the pastor feeds the sheep of God, humbly teaching them, guiding them, protecting them, and leading them in the mission that God has for his church. And the role of pastor is one of humility and service. And I love this particular verse in Jeremiah 3:15. It says, "And I will give you shepherds after my own heart, who will feed you with knowledge and understanding." I think that that's just, for me, I just feel so encouraged that the people who are called to pastor have kind of got, they're after God's own heart for people. Now, this is the one that I'm sure that not everybody is going to like what I'm going to say. I don't know whether I'm going to be invited to Rachel's musical medley, and if so, I'm sorry. But we're going to look at creative worship. Now, I want this to be affirming. Please hear this. I think that the fantastic group that we had here this night have led us in worship beautifully. So when I say, when you read that first bit, it's not mentioned as a spiritual gift on the three biblical gift lists, what can that say? You can go, what do you mean? I don't have a spiritual gift. How awful. I am not saying that. What I am questioning is it a spiritual gift or is it an expression of other gifts? Okay, so 1 Corinthians 12:1 says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant." And it goes on to write, "There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation even of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all." And that second bit's 1 Corinthians 12:4-7. The first bit was 1 Corinthians 12:1. So there are three words mentioned as it relates to how the gifts of the spirits function in the church, the diversities, differences, and activities. So in other words, all the gifts are from God, but they're distributed to different people and implemented in different ways through activities that produce an effect. So I am not altogether sure what worship leaders are. Are worship leaders teachers, prophets, evangelists, or something else, who are exercising their gift through facilitating even sung prayer? I don't know. But what I do know is that it is ministerial in nature. It helps us to be closer to God. We've come here, we've all sung, it opens up something absolutely fantastic when you worship. People have got an amazing gifting in being able to help us to draw closer to God with this creative worship. I think that a lot of it comes down to, and we're going to that middle point, the way we do church now is a modern cultural invention. So the revivalists, that's kind of like all the American Great Awakening stuff and Wesley, connected word and worship, and it shaped how we do church. So once upon a time, you'd have gone to a church, you wouldn't have had this sung worship. In Old Testament, in Old Testament times, the function of creative worship was a bit different. So Levites, doorkeepers, had a certain responsibility. So do we look at this in the same light? I don't think it really matters, to be quite honest with you. I think that it comes down to this gift mix. Are you a pastor? Are you a pastor teacher? Are you an evangelist? Whatever. I think that to singularise one kind of, this is your gift, this is who you are, it limits how God can use us. And this is what I feel about creative worship. So please, if you are in the worship group or you're involved in worship, please don't feel that by me saying it's not mentioned as a spiritual gift on the three biblical gift lists, I'm dismissing it. I'm not at all. I want you to be affirmed in, no matter what you do in this church, if you are doing it and you are serving God, it's important. Please hear that. Okay. The prayers of David and Elizabeth were set to music. They were incorporated into the worship life of the nation of Israel. They became things that became part of kind of everyday life. I mean, I'm not the world's best singer. My daughter's got a beautiful voice. It's not always great in our house when I'm doing the ironing and I'm singing away. But it helps me connect to God. Every time I get a new CD, everybody in my household knows every word. You know, when Life Church brought out a new CD, my daughter was like, oh, thank goodness, I don't have to listen to her singing another Wren Collective song. But now it's like, do you not know another song apart from Wide Open Space? But it is very important that we understand about this expression of worship to God. Creative worship facilitates the corporate expression of prayer and worship from the congregation to God. Very, very valued. So please, like I say, it is not my intention to upset anybody. I am actually just stating the obvious. I'm not suggesting for 1 minute that it is not a spiritual office. Okay. So that basically is my exposition. I'm not interested in exploring exactly what an apostle looks like. I'm not into doing weaknesses. If you've been on a networking course, it'll tell you what your weakness of your gift is. We are weak. The giver of the gift should always be glorified. Personally, I am never going to stand there and say, you have a weakness in your gifting. It's just not a part of what I feel is affirming for a body of people to hear. But again, it's my own take on things. So I've got two short videos, and then I'm going to kind of say about what my heart is in terms of this gifting. It's about application. You might have spotted where it's from. See, music don't come on. Those that are musically gifted can sing. So, Chariots of Fire, and now I've got another one, just because. Very different. So what on earth does the Ministry of Silly Walks have to do with spiritual gifting? I just like it. I thought we'd have it. I do think that when we come to look at spiritual gifting, for me, it's all about the application. I think that there's lots of people that never, ever feel that what they're doing is the right thing. And when it comes to spiritual gifting, I think there's a few kind of pointers about if we're operating with the parameters of what is given us or not. So are we living it? I don't know how well you can see that. I'm obviously needing a sight test. So Eric Liddell said, God made me fast. Thank you. Whoa, I like it. He's got a gifting up there. And when I run, I feel his pleasure. Okay? And so, can you take it back a bit? Thank you. So, when we're living it, do we ever do anything where we think, I feel God smiling? I feel that what I have communicated about God to somebody, that he is well pleased. Not necessarily with me, but well pleased with the outcome. Well pleased by the way that I've done that. If we feel that and we're doing things, then that's a pretty good indicator that even if we don't understand what it is we're doing, we're getting it right. There's another one, isn't there? Do we just feel spiritually exhausted? Are we continuously, and obviously life is tiring. I'm not saying, oh, I got a bit tired there doing Sunday school, I shouldn't be doing it next week. What I'm talking about is, if you never get any pleasure from what you were doing for God, so you serve him with the right intent, but if there's no pleasure there, and if you feel permanently, spiritually exhausted, my suggestion would be is that it might not be you doing what you should be doing. So you can approach spiritual gifts with a couple of different questions. The question could be, Lord, what's my gift and how does it work? Or, Lord, how can I understand how you made me? How can I understand the ministries that are best can be used so that people can experience you? So again, it's the emphasis on the giver and not the gift. Everything that he gives us should work together for our good. Now, can we go to the next slide, Tim, please? So, going back, oh, you don't have to go back, but going back to that bit about spiritual exhaustion, God's more committed to asking us to do things that bring us joy than misery. If everything that we do is spiritually exhausting, brings us no joy, I'm not talking about those times where you just go, do you know what, I'm a bit fed up with this today, because that's a very different reality. And sometimes we do get like that and we've got to persevere. If it's continuously like that, a bit like the John Cleese sketch, we could be walking the wrong walk. And actually, a lot of people around us could say, instead of this, I'm not going to attempt the silly walk, by the way, something ridiculous. And they don't actually be brave enough to kind of say, maybe you could try a different walk, because in church, we're nice to people, well, most of the time. But if we love people, it's not that we want to stop them from doing something, but if it's seriously draining them, if it's not them living out who they are in Christ, we should be loving enough to be able to say, do you know what? I'm not going to look at anyone now. I've seen that you are really good doing X, Y, Z. You know, whatever God kind of like, you know, no matter what you think about spiritual gifts, there's not one that says that there's a spiritual gift of criticism, of discouragement, or what have you, is there? We don't want to do that. But we can actually, in love, give somebody a better option so that they can walk their walk. So we're not anointed to do someone else's ministry. And mission's incarnational. What on earth does that mean? Mission's incarnational. Mission's incarnational in the fact that I mean that all ministry, so everything that we do, is a life of Jesus living through the church. It's Christ in us ministering to those around you. So it sounds very grand, but actually that's kind of what I'm getting at. When Christians serve in their area of giftedness, they generally function less in your own strength and more in the power of the Holy Spirit. And obviously, we as Christians have to recognise that everything that we have is from Him. So we're not anointed to do other people's ministries, and it's really, really important that we esteem all gifts and give space and opportunity for someone to develop their gifting mix. So actually, like the John Cleese thing, it's all right for somebody to have a go. Right? That's a very different thing. Sometimes how we develop our gifts, and I'll come on to that later, is by doing. And actually, there's a very different spirit to, I don't really know what I should be doing. Can I give this a go? Yes, we're a church that's going to give you an opportunity to have a go. So somebody that's highly entrenched in, I look round, I wanted this gifted, I want to serve in this area, and I'm going to do it, and I'm going to drain myself, I'm going to step into a role that should be somebody else's, and I'm going to walk like that for all to see. So each person has a task to do, and we should place value on each gift. It's not a hierarchical structure. Apostles were named first in that list, not because that gifting is prized high above, but really you can't have a church to operate unless it's been set up, if you know what I'm saying. So I think that, you know, we need to recognise, and it's really important, especially if you don't feel that what you bring is of great significance, that you look round and you say, they've got that gift. Oh, aren't they fantastic? Don't cover other people's gifts. He made you who he wants you to be. He made you for the task that he wants you to do. So the Corinthian church was beset with many problems and difficulties. The church was filled with division, arguments, immorality, you could go on and on and on. But they had many other issues. And one of those things was surrounding spiritual gifts. And some people thought they were more important than others because they had what they viewed as pretty spectacular gifts. And Paul wrote this letter to the church to address these issues. And we need to learn from this for two reasons. One, so that we can be humbled, and the other, so that we can be affirmed. Okay? So Paul writes in, I've already talked about that. So things were not given for status, but for service. But it's really important, going back to those original lists, that we recognise that each person has a task to do and that nobody should value any gift more than anything else. As we look at Corinthians over the past few weeks, we recognise that each part needs every other part. And it's really, really important. Lots of people will think that they have got a certain gift mix and they are required to recognise that everybody is valued, to keep them humble. But what I'm more concerned with, and not that that shouldn't be a concern, in part of my role as being a mission community leader, people come to me and they say this awful thing. They say, I can't do that. I say, why can't you do that? Because what I've got to bring isn't important. What I've got to bring isn't of worth. Not, I can't do that because I don't know how to. Can you help me? Which is a very different thing. I can't do that because it's not as important as what somebody else does, or it's not as, you know, it's not as valued as what somebody else does. And people have got a little bit of an issue with their worth. And when I look after a group of people, that pains me. It pains me awfully. Because I don't see that in that person. I see, you know, massive potential, people living for God, people with so much to bring. And there's that little thing in them that makes them look round, a bit like, you know, the head above the water, what's everyone else doing? They're doing that, they're doing that, they're doing that. They're all doing these things. And actually, my little thing is just really insignificant and I won't really bother doing it. But that's not what this is about when we're looking at gifting. It's about diversity, it's about unity, it's about esteeming all gifts. Gifts are given to edify others, service, not status. They prepare us for service, help us grow, protect us from harm. We have the next slide. Now, this is where spiritual gifting, people sometimes come into disagreement. I say, and this is just me, not knowing or understanding your gifting does not mean that you're not using it. Then it doesn't mean that you're not living it. If you feel called to a ministry, if you feel called to an area of life, if you are doing what you should be doing in Christ, you might not necessarily see that. Others see that. You might not necessarily see it, but it doesn't mean that you're not living it. So if you read all of these texts on spiritual gifts and you go, yeah, I'm going to study that. Yeah, I'm going to study that. Yeah, no, I don't get it. I can't do it. You might already be doing it. These things, they're really important that we try and understand them. But if you don't have every understanding of it, it doesn't mean that you're not living it out. It doesn't mean that you are not doing the ministry that you should be doing. It doesn't mean that you're not living a life according to how God has created you. These things are not reliant on your idea of your worth or your faith. Okay? Really important. I'm going to say it again. I say it all the time. People will get fed up of me saying this. Do not be limited by your opinion of yourself. I want you to be affirmed in what you bring to this church, what you use for Him. If you don't know exactly what you bring, that's fine, like I've said. Others benefit from that. So I see all kinds of different things. And like I said, this stumbling block of people dismissing themselves, it makes me sad. And you're probably going to like, she's said that more than once. And that's because that's the truth. It really, really makes me sad that people do not reach their potential in God because they limit themselves. And I can have the same conversation with somebody and they could come back to me 2 months down the line and their perception of themselves has not changed, and it breaks my heart because I just see so much potential in them. And I might actually say it again later on, just because I just think it is so important that we do not limit ourselves by who we are in Him because of worth. So if God's criteria for who gets this gift, it's not ours. We're created in His image and will always reflect some of the glorious work of God. So even when, I mean, Chris mentioned this earlier on, our lives are not in perfect order, we still can show some of the glorious work of God. So this is another thing that people limit themselves with. They dismiss their usefulness for God because they haven't got everything in perfect order. Show me someone who does. Show me someone who does. I know that I need renovation all the time. My husband would tell you, he has to live with me. I need lots of renovation in my soul. I have to constantly strive to put things right. We neglect areas of our lives that we need to address. As long as we're trying to address them, Don't think that you can't live in your gifting because there's a little bit of something not quite right. Okay? People will see the glorious works of God reflected in and through you. Now, this is my biggie as well. The other not is not an excuse not to do. We all have a responsibility. So it's great to learn about spiritual gifts. Obviously, I did the briefest overview in the world. And as you've come every Sunday, you will learn something more about a particular gifting. Hopefully, the others will be more in-depth than mine. But like I say, I'm all about application. That's kind of, you know, what kind of gets my heart racing. So Scripture commands all believers to perform certain ministries regardless of the individual gifts. So Christian roles like intercession, faith, service, mercy, giving, the responsibility of all Christians. They're not just those who are specifically gifted in the areas. So some have got the spiritual gift of evangelism. Does that mean that other believers haven't got a role to play in that? No, it means that we've each got to avoid this spiritual cop-out mentality that says, that's not my gift. Now, obviously, there's a very different thing from being a paramedic to having a first aid. We need to recognise that as well. We don't want to go, oh, I can do first aid. You know, I've got the gift of healing here or whatever. We're operating within knowing perhaps that there's somebody that's got a greater degree of that gifting, but we're all called to perform certain ministries regardless of our individual gifts. I think it's really, really important as well, I don't know whether it's a do or not, I haven't put it on, but a not, no, we'll go on to the next slide, I'll have it as a do. So do honour him with everything you've got, being given. The beautiful verse in the psalm, not only is it about praising with everything you've got, I think it's great that it's got a lot of different musical instruments in it. It's showing about, you know, us working together. It's kind of like a bit like the body of Christ thing about all the different instruments. I think I could be right, although just talking off the top of my head here, that harps were originated from bows in Egyptian kind of days, but I could be wrong. But anyway, the point is that, like all instruments, if you kind of study where they've come from, I'm trying to get back in the creative worship, gifting people's good books here, is that they all originate from different places. They all originate with different kind of characters of strength being put into them, and they all come together to worship God. So honour him with whatever you've got. Honour him with whatever you've been given. You will see now that I don't have many gifting in computers. This was done in Excel. This is my attempt at trying to show an interrelated relationship. So I think that quite often when we look at spiritual gifting, we think we read it, we understand it, we discover it, we do it. But I think that it's a little bit more of a fluid thing. This is how I see it anyway. Like I say, you can disagree with me. I think some people, they desire, and that's good. We'll kind of talk about desire. It says in, well, I'm not altogether sure because I didn't write it down, but it talks about desiring the gifts. Why? Because we're told to. You might not being given what you desire, but the desire may be what is already given you. But desire helps validify all gifts, and it shows us that we can be shaped, changed, equipped for his work. I was thinking about, when I was thinking about desiring, I was thinking, oh, that's funny, isn't it? Because some people believe that the gifting that we've got at the moment of salvation. But if you desire something, does that mean that you could be given other things? And I started to think about Solomon and his kind of plea to God for wisdom. He obviously wanted wisdom, not for himself. And, you know, Solomon is regarded as kind of one of the wisest people in the Bible. And I think it's all linked to that, why he wanted. So some people can come in with the desire bit. Other people can come in with the discover bit. Other people can come with the develop, and other people come with the do. So that it's all kind of interlinked. Sometimes you have to do in order to get the desire and then discover and develop. Sometimes you have to do to discover. So although it's a little bit of a circular thing, it's a little bit more interrelated, but my Excel gifting is obviously lacking, as you can see. So please bear with me. I'm glad you are a gracious people. But it's trying to show that the kind of relationship between how we understand our gifting and how we operate in it is a little bit more complex, a little bit more fluid, which I think is exciting. I think it's exciting. Okay. So linked to doing and developing, I think there's a couple of things that I just kind of want to say. Don't neglect your gift. Okay? Don't neglect your gift. In 1 Timothy 4:14, and the Message version actually says, keep it dusted often in use. It does actually say, don't neglect your gift. And in 2 Timothy 1:6, it says, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God. Do you need to allow the Spirit to fan your gift into full flame? Are you burning bright for him, or are you just flickering or smouldering? That sounds a bit of an odd thing to say, but I think that sometimes when we feel that we're operating in our gifting, we can flicker a little bit. I see, like, loads of different gifting, and it makes me excited, because I think, sorry, I get a little bit passionate sometimes, I think it's really, really exciting to see how God has got an outworking of who he is in all these different people. I think that's absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. And yet, sometimes we can not really be excited or passionate about what he has given us. And I can just be as guilty as everyone else. You know, sometimes I'm like a bit of a hoppy grasshopper. I'm like that annoying giddy kipper that comes along. I'm a bit like a little yappy dog going, oh my word, oh my word. I mean, I do read scripture a lot. I do read scripture a lot. I don't always understand everything I read, but I do read it. And I don't actually really like preaching, if I'm being quite honest, because you stand in front of people and you make yourself vulnerable. And you're not always altogether sure that what you are delivering is being received in the way that you intended it. You hope it is, but you never quite know. But the thing I do love about preaching or teaching or presenting something in any way is the fact that I get to read all of these scriptures concerning all of these things and be reminded of his truths, and it makes me like super giddy. So every time I've ever asked to preach or teach or anything, my poor husband has to put up with me, kind of get re-impassioned for the word of God. I love the word of God. I love the word of God. And, you know, it makes me so excited. And I think that when you are excited about what God gives you, it's just absolutely fantastic. So different perspectives, developing, it's great, but we all have those moments when life gets in the way, and rather than kind of blazing a bright, I suppose, we just flicker or we smoulder, and sometimes I just feel like a little bit of ash as well. So I think that what I feel is really important is that try and understand that everybody's gifting is different. It's really important that we hold on to that. So even if you just go, do you know what? I know, because like I said, some gifts are easier to know whether you've got than others. I think that if you've got the gift of tongues, you probably know. I think it's really important that we strive to understand everybody's gifting to some extent so that we can understand that all people will do things in a different way, and that's fine. Otherwise we can, I don't know if, I'm a bit of an 80s TV kid. There used to be a character, Harry Enfield, you know, he used to come along and he'd go, you don't want to do it like that, you don't want to do it. I could only see one framework of reference for how something would be done. And when we recognise that God has equipped us all differently, it helps us to kind of recognise that everybody will do things in a different way. And that's a real blessing to see God's outworking in different perspectives. Some of you may know, some of you may not, that my son is on the autistic spectrum. And sometimes it's wonderfully entertaining. So if I said to him something along the lines of, how was your tea? He might not say there was too much sauce on it. So I think he will find that there was a disproportionate ratio of sauce to noodles. And you go, huh? He's saying the same thing, but in his own unique way. And that is part of his identity. And I love him for that. He's quirky. I can't imagine him being anything different. If I came in and I went, Aaron, how's your tea? And he went, oh, there's too much sauce on it. I'd be like, what's going on here? I'm used to him operating in his certain language. I'm used to him describing things in a certain way. And that's a joy. Gosh, can you imagine if we were all the same? We'd be like Stepford Wives. It'd be awful. So recognising all of these giftings is really important for showing who we are. Okay. So, try things. If you don't know what you should be doing, try it. If it's not for you, it's fine. Exercise your gift. Surrender. Don't kind of go, oh, I want to do this, I want to do that. Surrender to him, and it will help unveil what you should be doing. Dialogue with people. If you're not sure what you should be doing, other people have got an amazing capacity to see what you can't see in yourself. So when we were away on the Crag Weekend Away, I'll be very brief, I just noticed the time, sorry. When we were on the Crag Weekend Away, we had these little blocks in a tower, and people were encouraged to write something about someone else's character or gifting on it for them to be blessed. The amount of people that were writing, you know, there's not enough room on these blocks to write all these positive things of God that I can see in somebody. It was really fantastic. People have gone away and they've gone, oh, do you know, other people see that I'm diligent, or that I'm hardworking, or that I'm righteous, or that I love, or that I've got mercy, or I didn't realise that about myself. I didn't realise that other people see God's outworking of me like that. So dialogue with people, they will be able to advise you. Develop your relationship with the head of the body. It's always great for getting you to be just where you should be. I've gone over time, I'm sorry. Those people that are from Crag will be going, well, that's pretty good for her. Could have been here for 2 hours. It has been a whirlwind tour. I'm so sorry. Like I say, I'm not into theological exposition in its entirety. I'm about application. It's probably not been the best mix in terms of balance. If there's anything that I've said that you want me to quantify, anything that you just think I'm plain wrong about, I can be wrong, ask my husband, that's fine, I'm not bothered. But what I do want to say is, no matter how I've presented this and how you've received it, please know that you are a child of his, that you were affirmed in who you are in him. And if you don't take anything else away from this evening, please hear that. Thank you. Chris is going to lead us in a bit of response time.
I think if we stand and sing, if we'll stand and sing our next song in response to that, and if we'll have that as our last song, if that's all right.